At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities. All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today is Emma Berg, senior and captain for the women's basketball team. So, Emma, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, we were just talking about it before we kicked this thing off. The Winter Wonderland is here. So, what are your thoughts on that so far? Are you a snow winter person or?
I am definitely more of a fall person, so like around the 70s weather, so when it drops down to 20 and it's snowing, it's never been my thing, even though I'm a Midwesterner, definitely never been my thing, but you know, it grows on me a little bit when the first snowfall hits, but after that, not for me.
Well, it's not as bad around here as it is, you know, around like Lake Michigan and outside of Chicago, so yeah. you have that at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know, it's funny. When I went to Augie, you know, we always said there were kids walking around still in sandals and shorts. Does that still happen? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, there's this handful of people that you'll see that walk around in shorts. I have to admit, when I worked out today, I didn't wear any sweats. I was just wearing shorts into the gym. So I can be one of those people sometimes, but there's those very few you see that wear those sandals, and it's, you have to laugh a little bit. It's, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. I don't know either. So, well, good. Well, so let's talk, I guess, a little bit, you know, about Augie. You know, so obviously you're a senior this year, but I want to go back a little bit around, you know, kind of what drew you to Augustana kind of initially.
So originally my whole mindset going into the college process was looking at smaller schools. That's always been my biggest thing. I like that community feel. And Augie was the only school that was smaller that I was looking at that really had that community feel, whether it be the community on campus, but also the community within the basketball team that really drew me in, especially the first open gym I went to, that just seeing how they interacted with each other, the players, it was very like, not mutual, what's the word? I forgot the word, but it was just very genuine. And they really enjoyed being around one another. And that's something that I really wanted for myself within the 4 years that I got out of college, and that's what I've gotten. So definitely the community feel is what drew me into Augie. I liked that it was only 3 hours from home. I'm a huge homebody, so I thought 3 hours was that good, happy medium, not too far from home, but not too close from home. So I get to go home on some weekends. Obviously not much during basketball season, but yeah, definitely the traveling, that was another big factor. Then academics too. I'm an elementary education major, so that's something that the education program is great here. So they had those three things, community, the travel, and the academics. So that really brought me closer to here. So, yeah.
You know, I always like to joke, because I grew up in Bluegrass, Iowa, which is right across the river outside of Davenport, you know, and, you know, so it's, we're talking like 20 minutes away, not 3 hours, but, you know, I did it so I could generally say I went out of state to college.
Yeah.
So, even though my mom, you know, worked literally three blocks away from campus. So, so, you know, so you mentioned an education major. You know, what does life kind of look like after Augie? You know, what's kind of plans around that? Have you been thinking much about it at all, or?
A little bit. Definitely I like thinking about the future, but also living in the moment. It's my last year of college, so I like just living here right now. But definitely thinking ahead. I'm going to look for a teaching job, possibly back home. I live in Antioch, Illinois, like I said, 3 hours from here. So the Chicagoland area, maybe look back home. One thing that interested me in my student teaching experience this year was I got to look at a reading specialist in my school, and I really liked how she interacted with the kids, worked with smaller groups. So I'm getting my reading endorsement in the spring. So I'm hoping maybe to look for a reading specialist job. Mm-hmm. So two options for me. I'm going to see how the spring goes and go from there.
Mm-hmm. You know, that like... was that a role that you did here locally then? I mean, obviously school isn't in summer, you know, over the summer. Did you do something here locally with one of the other schools, or did you get some hours here? Or how does that kind of work?
Yeah. So I student taught back here. You student teach in your senior year, and you can choose either fall or spring. So I chose the fall because it wouldn't, since I'm done with student teaching now, we basically just started season. So it didn't overlap too much. If it was in the spring, it would have overlapped too much with basketball, so it just made it way easier choosing it in the fall. And I got here like beginning of August to start student teaching. You work your way with observing, and then you start taking on a few classes, and then you full-time teach, and then you do that for 3 weeks, and then you transition out. So a total it's 14 weeks for student teaching.
Yeah, that's quick.
Yeah, it goes by quick. Fast. Yeah.
Where were you at?
I was at Hayes Elementary School. So that's in across the river. Davenport. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yep. I had a great experience.
Yeah, that's actually in the neighborhood I grew up in as a kid.
Really?
Up until about fourth grade. Yeah, I went to a school, Roosevelt, that's closed down now, but it was us or Hayes. So
yeah.
Very cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where we're at currently in the season. So, you know, the team's in the middle of a 6-game home stretch. You know, Wednesday is the first CCIW opener with Elmhurst. You know, having such a young team, you know, you're just, you know, one or two seniors. Has this 6-game home stretch so early on in the season really helped with like team confidence or team chemistry? I mean, has it been something you guys have been able to take a little bit of an advantage of?
I would say in most ways, yes. In some ways, no. I think we're still working together as a team. We do things differently. And obviously we have, I think, 5 or 6 returners. So we know how we work with one another. So bringing in a whole group of freshmen, it's definitely different because they work differently, we work differently. So having that mix, it's definitely different. And the 6 games has helped, especially over the stretch, that period of time. The Platteville game was our first game. That definitely showed us a little bit. Like we had some miscommunications. There was things that we didn't click yet. And then move along to our 3rd or 4th game when we played Edgewood. We really started to click more offensively together. Defensively, we were communicating, we were talking. We worked way better together. We took care of the ball. I believe we had 13 turnovers, which is pretty low for a college game. So we just took steps forward. This past game, the Webster game, obviously we struggled a lot with turnovers. That's been our biggest struggle, honestly, throughout the past few years. But I wouldn't say it's taking a step back. I'd say it's taking a step to the side. And we really just got to reevaluate, like, okay, what do we need to focus on? What are our goals? I think our biggest thing right now is just being more confident and then also just valuing the basketball. I think that's something, it comes with time, but then also experience. So I think overall we've been clicking with one another, especially as the games, as we stack up more games. But I think it's going to take a few more to get us where we want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a good, kind of non-conference schedule. I'm just kind of looking here. I mean, obviously up at Platteville, St. Mary's, Edgewood, Coe, Monmouth, and Webster. But it feels like a little bit from the team, it's like, it feels like defensively trying to pressure a little bit more, bringing the ball up a little bit quicker. But again, it's just learning, right? Because, I mean, you're mixing in a couple of freshmen, Tia Lewis, Audrey Erickson, saw Sierra Hull in there. So again, you have these folks that are still trying to kind of find their identity, as underclassmen. And you're out there, trying to help lead as a senior. It's just a dynamic, right? That just, it takes time.
Definitely.
To certainly build. And but as one of the two seniors, you've been a multi-year captain. You were even a captain in high school. How would you describe your leadership style, either on or off the court?
I would say there's two ways people usually like to categorize leaders, as either being a lead by example or lead by being a vocal leader. I would say naturally, I've always been a lead by example ever since high school. Especially COVID times, I was definitely more of a lead by example. I would invite my teammates to go work out with me. I would work with them more one-on-one. I'm not like a whole one-on-20, give a whole speech kind of person. I'm more that person that will invite one few teammates to the gym and we work hard together. We do sprints on the football field. We'll do things like go out to dinner together. So I've always been more that one-on-one, one-on-small group kind of leader. But that lead by example definitely has been the role I've taken on. And in high school, I played with two girls that now go to Northwestern and Duke, and they play basketball there. One of them, the one at Northwestern, Grace Sullivan, she starts. Then Jordan Wood at Duke, she comes off the bench. But they were always more vocal leaders. So I just kind of took on that lead by example role. So we worked well together. Then going into college, I started taking on that lead by example role by always staying extra time after practice, getting up early in the morning and shooting, inviting my teammates, always giving them that opportunity to work out with me. And then they started to see, okay, maybe she is someone who can be a leader, but by example. So it's definitely where I feel most comfortable, but it's something also that I want to work on with my lead by being more vocal. I think that's something that challenges me and I want to work on a little bit more. My teammates, I tell them too, hey, if I'm not talking, get on me, because I need to work on being more of a leader by talking. So they help me with that a lot, and being out of my comfort zone too. That's something I want to work at, but as of right now, I'd say my more comfortable role is leading by example.
Back last month, your old high school, Carmel Catholic, I should say, they put out a tweet on X, just, kind of going back to, some alumni there, and actually described you as a servant leader, right? So it's one who, really kind of prioritizes the needs of, others kind of over their own. And it seems like it really, kind of shows in that one-on-one interaction, you build so much more personal you know, repertoire, you know, with folks and relationships with people. So it definitely seems to continue to come out and kind of show. But sometimes you just need to be vocal. Got to get on their butt or help or do whatever you need to motivate. So Now, I was looking at just kind of your career. I thought this was a really cool stat. You may not even be aware of this, but so you played 80 games in your career so far. We have 19 games left in the regular season. So theoretically, you could finish with 99 games played. That would actually be tied for the 11th all-time in program history.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, hearing that, like, what does that mean to you to leave that type of legacy on the program?
That's awesome. I never even knew that I was about to reach 99 games. That's definitely impressive. I wish I passed that 100 mark, but obviously I'm just very happy that I've been fairly healthy most of my career. Last year I played through, I had plantar fasciitis in both my feet. So there was, I think, one or two games I had to sit out because of that. So stinks.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thinking back on those times, but it's amazing that I'm up there with playing that many games and thinking that 99 games my whole college career, that's a lot.
It is. I mean, you played 20 games your freshman year, you know, which is huge. So I guess you're going to have to take the Vikings to the conference tournament. Got to get in there and that'll get to the 100th. So
it would,
You know, so as you kind of reflect, you know, on the past 4 years, like, what's been a memorable moment, you know, for you in your career?
I'd say I've had a few, but one of my biggest would be my sophomore year when we made it to the conference championship against Millikan. That was definitely a huge game for us, and we haven't made it that far in years. So to be a part of that and to make an impact, to have an impact in that game and also to get us where we were in that position was a big, big honor for me and an opportunity. So it's just that team too. It was great being on that team. Great, great teammates, just good energy. I loved that team a lot. And playing in that game, we were playing more free, I guess you could say. It felt different than the other games we've played. And even though we lost, it was very rewarding to get there because I've never been in a spot like that before with people that I love. So that was definitely a memorable moment for me. I'm trying to think back. There is another moment. This year, just honestly, the open gyms that we've strung together with this group, this has been one of my favorite teams here. The freshmen, like we've talked about, there's about nine new freshmen. Mm-hmm. Just the energy they bring, it's just such fresh energy. And it really lifts up the upperclassmen. And I just love that. 'Cause I know sometimes energy dies out a little bit over time, obviously, like burnout, all of that. But the freshmen just bring so much positivity, so much energy. They want to win just like us. And it's just, we have the same goals. So our open gyms would be so fun this year and so competitive. So that just having those are small moments, but those are moments that I'm really going to remember. And I are most memorable to me.
You know, we talk about the freshman class, you know, being, you know, so big. You know, 4 years later, right, your freshman class is just you and Ashley Lang. So, you know, looking back, like, what would you What type of advice would you give, you know, to a freshman around, you know, either what it takes to make it all 4 years to play basketball at the collegiate level?
Yeah.
What type of advice would you give them to stick it through or to help motivate them?
I would give them a few pieces of advice. I think my first one would be to stick around people that have the same mindset as you and also who are better than you. They will make you better players if you work with them, if you talk with them, you keep them in your circle. You want to surround yourself with people that care about you and that also will help you be a better person and a better player. So that's my one big advice to them. My second piece of advice is definitely to take care of yourself, because I know that's one thing I struggled with at times. My sophomore year, I struggled with my mental health. So it's important to take breaks. I used to be all the time. I would work out 4 hours a day, never take breaks, no days off, like that kind of mindset. And I just got so burnt out. And just mentally, I couldn't be around basketball anymore. So it's just remembering to take those breaks too, because it's important if you want to be a good player and just take care of yourself. So definitely take those breaks when you need it. Obviously, you still need to work out and like grind, but it's, you still got to find that time for yourself. Then my third and last piece of advice would definitely be to just enjoy it. I know that's kind of cliche to say, but it really goes fast. So it's really important to not care so much about your stats or the impact you make on the game, but how you make other people feel. That's something that my dad told me. It's a quote, I forgot the lady's name, but he told me that the other day. It's not about your stats. It's not about what you did in the game. It's how you made other people feel. So it's important that you create those relationships throughout your 4 years, because that's what's going to stay throughout your whole life.
Well, that's a great point. You know, I think the mental health, you know, aspect has been, you know, really kind of on the rise over the last, you know, maybe 5-6 years or so. But yeah, that wasn't anything when, you know, when I was playing that you know, was even thought of, you know, it was like, those are some great points. And well, now I'm going to switch a little bit and say, well, this is, you definitely make the fans feel great here. You're 1 3-pointer away. Again, you may not know this, from tying Kristen Pence for career 3-pointers made. So you're sitting at 144 and you're like third all time in 3-point percentage. Like, so again, kind of another aspect of the legacy that's been awesome. You know, what do you think has been like the key to your success, you know, as a reliable shooter, you know, for the team behind the arc? We will work to try and get her back here. Oh, there you go.
Okay. There we go.
There you go.
All right.
So you're 1 3-pointer away from tying Kristen Pence, you know, for 3-pointers made. So you know, you rank third time, you know, all time in 3-point percentage. So what's been the key, do you think, to your success, to being a reliable shooter, you know, for the team behind the arc?
Well, I'm going to take you back all the way from when I was a sophomore in high school. So as a sophomore in high school, I would shoot with two hands like that. I had just no fundamentals. I just didn't know how to shoot. I never had like a shooting coach. I just kind of, that's what worked for me. So I thought this is what I'm going to stick with. But throughout my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school, I would always work on my form. That was my biggest thing. My form, I always worked on my form. In-close shots were my best friend. That's what I did. And then I would work a little bit more towards the outside. When I would get more comfortable with that, work further out to the three. And I actually, starting out when I wanted to keep my guide hand on the side, I would use an oven mitt. So I'd use an oven mitt so I wouldn't push the ball. I actually got that from my dad. And it would force me to shoot with one hand. So that I would do that every day. And then every day in high school, I would try to get 300 to 500 makes in a day. Because consistency was my most important thing, was to get reps up, to get more consistent with that new form. Eventually, I didn't need that oven mitt anymore. I took it off. And then I started shooting without bringing my guide hand up, so I had to fix that. So it was a whole process. But throughout high school, I changed that, and it helped me become way more tedious on the little details when it comes to shot form, using your legs, using your arms, how you hold the ball in your hand. So it's just doing the little things has really got me to where I am today as a shooter, and still doing those things by doing little form shooting drills. I actually learned a lot of form shooting drills from my old AAU coach, Steve Pratt. He coaches at Full Package. He has so many different interesting little form shooting drills that have helped me with my balance, with my shot rotation, with like keeping in my shooting pocket. I used to bring it to the middle of my body. Now I bring it over to my side. So it's just him and my dad, and working with Coach B, has helped me improve my shot. And then also the time I put in, it's not about like the time that you put in with like practices and all that. It's the time that you put in outside. So the extra work that I did with the little things, like those little shooting drills, that's where it's gotten me today. So
how'd your dad come up with the oven mitt, you know, solution?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I think he learned it probably from another coach. He's very savvy with looking at other coaches and what they do. So he got me like, hey, you know what? Take the oven mitt, put it on your hand, and it should force you not to use your guide hand. And it worked. So to anyone out there trying to shoot with one hand, try an oven mitt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm going to stick my Sin's left hand in this summer.
Yeah. Make
him shoot here in the backyard. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
So last week, it was Thanksgiving, and I know you and I were, you know, trying to coordinate a time.
Yeah.
So you traveled back to Antioch. Now,
I did. Now
you were at Carmel Catholic, which I think is in Mundelein, right? So did you guys end up moving, or did you commute down to Carmel, or how did that work?
I commuted down there. My dad actually coaches and teaches there. He was my coach in high school.
Okay.
So it was about a 30-minute drive. So my brother and I, we would drive with him when we couldn't drive freshman and then part of sophomore year. And then when my brother could start driving, then I would go with him. So it was a long drive, but I mean, it was worth it. I loved going to school there. So great experience.
Now, does your, you know, family have any like Thanksgiving like traditions?
So this year we actually switched it up. Over my whole life, we've always gone to my grandma's. We would eat, and before we would eat, we always do our circle of gratitude, which is where our whole family, we have 20 to 25 people. We get in a circle, we hold hands, and we say what we're grateful for that specific year. And it's really touching, because we never, like, not many families do that. So it's just really special to have that, to come back home to, and to have that tradition. But this year, my grandma was tired of cooking. She's getting a little bit older. So we went to a restaurant, and we went out to eat there, and we had Thanksgiving food, but we still continued our circle of gratitude. So I really like coming home to that. But yeah, that's our biggest tradition on Thanksgiving. So
like it.
Yeah.
Now, what's your favorite dish in Thanksgiving?
That's a tough one. Ooh, I love sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes.
That's it. That's yes. The right answer.
Yes, it's so good. So good. And sometimes there's like that marshmallow fluff.
Yep.
That's pretty good on it, but just sweet potatoes by itself. Oh, that's so good.
You know, I love that you said that, because that's literally my favorite dish. And
is it?
My grandma would always make it for me for my request.
Yeah.
And I remember one year she went from like, you know, true sweet potatoes to like canned sweet potatoes, and I tasted the difference. And I'd never let my grandma live it down. So she's like, I will never. Every year she says, I will never go back and use a sweet, you know, a canned sweet potato, because I don't want to hear it. So I love it. That's awesome. Now, did you come back Friday then, or what was your travel schedule like?
Yeah, so Tuesday night we had our game against Monmouth. I was really happy it was at home. I could have traveled back that night, but it was 9 o'clock. I didn't want to travel 3 hours that late. So I slept, and then I went back home Wednesday, and then was home Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday we had practice at 5 at night. So we got a little bit of time in the morning, but I had to leave around 1 at home. So it was a nice 2 days off. I'm happy that we still get that time to be home.
Now, was it difficult to is it difficult to navigate, you know, the holidays, you know, in, you know, a pretty demanding, you know, schedule like basketball? I mean, has that been tough over the years, or is it, what are your thoughts there?
Definitely, especially my freshman sophomore year, I feel like it was really difficult for me. Just adjusting to always being home and then to not being home for as long during those times. It was hard for me. So I know with the freshmen, sophomores now, that especially that aren't locals, I try to reach out to them a little bit more during these times, because it can be hard not being with your family, especially if you're a homebody. It stinks. And you do get that time home, but it's still not the same as having that time like you would when you're back in high school. So definitely it's been a challenge, but we try as a team to do more things during these times too. Like, we're going to have probably quesadilla night coming up. We do a Christmas secret Santa at our coach's house. So we do different things during these times to help lift us up a little bit more, and then also to get closer with one another. So it's nice to have that second family to come back to, so it's not as hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, if, you know, coming out of Thanksgiving, right, we, you know, we're now heading into the Christmas and kind of New Year holiday season. So, what's your favorite, like, Christmas holiday movie, you know, that you either watch repeatedly, or, you know, something that you'll sit down and like to watch kind of every year?
Man, that's a hard one. I like a lot. I'd say my favorite is Christmas Vacation. That's a good one.
That's my favorite.
Christmas Vacation's really good. Elf is up there, but I think Christmas Vacation's probably the top one.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's always a good classic. And
Now,
when does your family put up a Christmas tree? And, you know, when do lights go up, and when do you kind of start that process?
Well, this year it was funny, because usually we go to a place called Richardson's back home. We would go and have our dad cut it down. It would never be us kids. We just watch him. He'll cut it down and have a good time, and we'll get hot chocolate and, be out in the cold. So that's a fun tradition we do. But this year we went to Home Depot the day after Thanksgiving, because my family knew that I was going home that Friday. So we went, looked at one tree, and we said, this is the one. And we took it and we brought it home. It took us less than a minute. So we we got that. We set it up. We started putting up lights, but it stunk because then I had to leave already. So the lights and the ornaments are already put up. But in the past few years, we usually do it the day after Thanksgiving. Sometimes I'm able to make it home a weekend or two after, around like middle of December. And then I can put up lights then with them. So this year is a little bit different.
Like it. Now, what was like your favorite Christmas present you got as a kid?
Oh man. Probably when I was super little, I loved, I got this really sparkly Barbie bike. It was a good one. Yeah, if I could think of like anything from when I was like the most surprised about, it was the Barbie bike. I really like that. Then obviously as I got older, my favorite would be like the iPhone, you know, that's everyone's favorite, getting a phone. So yeah, I'd say like getting a phone and yeah, that Barbie bike.
Now, have you ever done any like traveling, you know, over the holidays, you know, kind of out of town, or have you know, strictly just kind of stick around like Antioch and that area?
Typically I'm home. Last year I traveled with my boyfriend to Tennessee to spend time with his family. That was definitely different. I loved it though. But it took me out of my comfort zone because I've always been home for Christmas. But I enjoyed the change. It was nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, lastly, you know, just kind of looking ahead to Elmhurst here on Wednesday at 7. You know, you're 3-0 against Elmhurst, you know, in your career. Mm-hmm. You know, what can the Vikings kind of expect, you know, from the Blue Jays here come Wednesday?
So they're obviously, they've taken steps forward and their program's getting a lot better. They're a solid team. We have to go into every game thinking like, all right, like this is a team that we like that might challenge us rather than thinking of them as being not as skilled. But they're up there. They're getting better. So it's just how we approach the game, and they're going to press us a little bit too, I'm sure, because they did the past 2 years. So it's just playing poised, staying calm during those times. Won't be like Webster's pressure. They won't be up in our face like that, but it's still playing with that poise and reminding one another that if we turn the ball over, just learn from it and calm down, and then it's the next play. So it's just kind of bringing ourselves back and just staying focused in that aspect. We actually watch film on them Tuesday, so we don't know a whole lot about them yet for this year, but over the previous years. They're a solid offensive team too. They have a few girls who are can take it to the hole and they can score well. So just shutting them down and then playing our game too. With offense, we've been doing a lot better looking inside out. Tia, she's been doing such a phenomenal job inside, whether it be crashing, whether it be posting up, getting and ones. She's been doing a great job. And then obviously, our other players, Audrey, she stepped up a ton, taking the ball up, slowing us down. So it's just having us play our roles, I think, will be our biggest thing. So
playing the game. Yeah, I mean, talk about different roles. Like, who I love to watch defensively is Dolly.
Yeah, she's a dog.
End line to end line. Yes.
Yeah, she's awesome and such a sweet person, too. So she's a great defender. Give her a lot of credit for that. Very quick and very agile. So
and plays a clean game. You know, like she doesn't get a ton of fouls. It's, you know, at least when I watched, and it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, she's made a ton of improvements. I remember in the first game she got a little bit handsy, and that's hard coming from high school to college, realizing like some fouls you won't get away with as much in college. So then in practice, the next few practices we worked on more just walling up or just having our hands to the side when we're playing defense and mirroring the basketball. And she picked it up right away. She got it. So she's doing so much better. I'm proud of her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, reminder, you know, to those watching. So Wednesday, Vikings host Elmhurst at Carver. So the game is set for 7. Obviously, you can watch online or better yet, come support the ladies here in person. So, Emma, thanks again for taking the time to on this, you know, wintry Monday here to fit me in between your workout and practice.
Of course. Thank you.